And it's great to see you. We're glad you're here at Calvary today as we continue our study through a theme that we have identified, a theme that is important to God. Probably the most important part of our relationship with God is, where are we at spiritually? Where is our heart at? And the title of this series is called A Matter of the Heart. And we've been looking at developing the kinds of qualities of heart that put us in the place where God can get a hold of us, God can use us, and God can use what He gives to us as individuals. We're talking about a matter of the heart. So we've already talked about developing the quality of... I'm tempted to ask you if you can remember what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. Contentment. Very good. They all shouted it in Erie this morning too. They said contentment, and they're content there. Last week we talked about generosity, and generosity, developing a heart that says, I'm generous because that's a reflection of the one I love and follow. God is generous. God did not spare His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all. And therefore, won't He also give us all the things that we need, all that He wants us to have? And this morning we're going to talk about another virtue. It's the quality of heart called simplicity. Your life is simple, isn't it? The opposite of simplicity, I guess, is complexity. And when we talk about developing a heart that is simple, what we might have in mind is sort of taking a deep breath. Go ahead and take one. And just figuring out how to slow it down just a little bit. But I don't want to give you some positive help self-talk this morning about simplifying your life. I want you to look with me in the Bible about why simplicity or slowing down or downshifting might be something that God would occasionally want to come to you and suggest in your life, just to keep things a little more simple. There's an anachronism that's used, and if I were to say it, it's the word kiss. You know what that means, right? No, we would never say this to each other, but it means keep it simple. Yeah, we weren't allowed to say that growing up. We weren't allowed to say stupid to each other unless our parents weren't around, and then we could use it. But keep it simple. Stupid means just, you know, keep it simple. And so computer programming has developed this simple way of, it's called plug and play. You know, so you get a new deal, you just plug it in, it's ready to go. Staples Office Supply has a big red button, and what's it called? It's called the easy button. So you just push it. That's what I need. I need it very simple. I need it to be as simple as possible. And in one sense, that's what God wants for us. He wants a simple response. We've been talking a lot over these weeks about our financial situation. Because what we have found is one of the things that confuses the matter of our heart's health is financial pressure. As soon as you start thinking about the economics of our life and lifestyle, we find the pressure go up. And a very simple statement that we could put over this whole theme is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Very simple. What you love and value, that's where your heart is. About 4 years ago, a television program began to air, and it was called The Simple Life. You've seen it. Two wealthy young socialites try out the simple life, doing manual work, low-paying jobs, cleaning bathrooms, working on a farm, serving fast food, and their life is anything but simple in reality, but they immerse themselves for a few 30-minute sitcoms into a simple life and essentially make a mockery out of those with a simpler life. The simple life actually is mocked in some circles because it suggests maybe that my life is not as sophisticated as it should be. And I need to have a complex and busy life. And if I have that, then I'm an important person. People look up to you. You have a lot going on. You're busy. Gee, you must be very important. And there's a component of all of this busy, endless hurrying around to do very important things that's really rooted in nothing other than pride. Simplicity is the conscious choice to minimize the more is better pursuit of wealth and consumption. And so the term downshifting is often used to describe a move to a lifestyle away from greater consumption and to voluntary simplicity. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a great verse in the Bible that talks about doing less and removing things that hinder our walk with Christ. It comes from Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 11, excuse me. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. Here's a suggestion that we are in a race together, and if we're going to run this race, then one of the things we're going to have to let go of is the multiplicity of encumbrances. I like what this verse says because it suggests that there are some things to lay aside. One of them are encumbrances, and the other is what? Sin, the sin. And I think in the context that the sin that is being referred to is doubt or a lack of faith, an inability to trust God for what he brings your way. That's the sin that entangles all of us, that sometimes we don't believe that what God said is really going to be true. And so chapter 11 of Hebrews is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. And so it begins this way: lay aside the sin that entangles all of us. If that's the sin that I think it is, it's your inability to trust God and believe in him. And then there's a whole history of people from chapter 11 who by faith trusted God for everything, and they're the hall of history. That's the sin. I don't believe God. But then there's this other thing to lay aside. It's the encumbrances. It's the things that perhaps are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but they prohibit me from running the race that God intends. They keep me from achieving what God wants me to achieve. And so I need to lay those things aside. Well, what might those encumbrances be? I think that part of that encumbrance is what surrounds us in our world that weighs us down. And I think in today's society, much of it is a preoccupation with our financial situation and the accumulation of more than we need and the complexity of life that keeps piling on and piling on. If simplicity is a virtue, complexity is its corollary opposite, and complexity has some downsides. When your life gets too complex, what happens? You run around like a chicken with its head cut off. You're spread too thin. You skate on thin ice. You have no margin in your life. My daughter is a journalism major, and we were talking one time about what makes great literature and what makes it appealing on the page to read. And I was saying to her that when you look at a document and you want to read it, one of the reasons that it becomes so attractive to read is the way that it's word economy. That is, it doesn't over speak to you. And it's written on a page in such a way that you have these two spaces down the outside, and these are called what? Margins. And there is a double space in between paragraphs. And there are, fortunately, spaces between words. And there's punctuation and capitals. And can you imagine trying to read a document that was lowercase with no spaces, no punctuation, and went from side to side? Some people talk this way. Okay, but it's white space on a document that allows you to engage and to go with the flow and to take a rest and see the space. And in the same way, I was suggesting that as a document needs margins in order to give it definition, so your life needs some margin, some space, some rest, in order to give it definition that it's not going breakneck speed all the way to the end. Ultimately, it needs a little bit of simplicity. Now, this is what I would suggest to you, that if simplicity is a virtue, and complexity makes our life a little bit too hectic, the greatest cost for complexity in your life and the greatest loss that you experience because your life may be too complex is availability. The greatest loss of complexity is availability. What do you mean? The more complex your life is, the less you are available to God, to others, to accomplish the purposes that He wants in your life. Living with less complexity demands, on our part, a vigilant effort to simplify enough to create space on our calendar, space in your mind, and room in your heart. You simplify enough to create some time on your calendar. Did Jesus ever do that? Jesus ever do that? Yeah. Yeah, Jesus would get away. He would go away to a lonely place and be by himself. Even in Mark chapter 4, when everybody is coming after Jesus and they just want him, they want to get him. And he says, no, I'm going to go away. And Mark chapter 4 is probably one of the most the busiest times in Jesus' life, chapter 3, chapter 4, and there are more people who want to come to Jesus and they want to get at him, and he just says, no, I need to be away. I need to create some space in my calendar for God. And he goes away to be alone with God. Now listen, creating time in your calendar for God allows you to be in a place where God can work in your life and bring some divine appointments into your world, into your calendar. But it's possible that you have created such a calendar in your life that you have no space for God to work. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, the downside of a complex, busy, too busy life is there's no room in there for God to do his thing. And so I want to just suggest something to you that you, perhaps, if God speaks to you this morning, would learn to develop on your calendar, in your daytime, or on your PDA, a little space for you to be alone with God, which is what Jesus did, which is allows you to slow things down. For me, it helps to be on a retreat somewhere, to be away, to be out in the wilderness, to get away from it all. Sometimes I run with music in my ears that help me just be alone. I like to run and I like to be away. And if I put some good music in, it helps train my thoughts. Another thing I like to do is get away in the mountains. And I love to walk a stream. And I love to live out the call of God in my life that Jesus said, come after me and I will make you fishers. Okay, I like that. Fishers of men. That's right. And I like to be awake because that refreshes my soul and it gives me a little bit of space in my life. For you, it might be going to a room to be by yourself with a cup of tea and nothing else on. It may simply mean just turning the TV off, turning the music off, being by yourself. But my suggestion is this, that if you're going to lay aside the encumbrances that are weighing in on you, the first is creating some time on your calendar for God to do his thing in your life. The other thing is create space in your mind. space in your mind where you can think. And it can happen in these places where you are in a place where you can think about God. You can think about what He wants to do in your life. And as we've been talking about financial pressure, I gave to you a number of weeks ago a suggestion that you buy a book called Heaven, written by Randy Alcorn. Randy Alcorn has written this book called Heaven because he believes that we as Christians don't think enough about heaven. And we don't think about heaven, and therefore we don't believe that our treasure ultimately is there. And we have a preoccupation with accumulating treasures here because we don't think enough about the afterlife, the next life, the life to come. And when Jesus was saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, He was suggesting to us as people that we would think about things eternal. And one of the ways that will help you eliminate some of the complexity and create some margin in your life is to create some space in your mind that you are alone with God thinking about eternal things. That's why Paul said to the Colossians, set your mind on things above where Christ is. Creating some space in your mind to think about the things of God will help you live. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're not thinking about heaven, then many of us get pulled into this temptation to think about all these things here on earth. Think about the next big thing we have to get. Think about the next pressure that's in our life for work. You need to create a little bit of space in your mind to think about eternal things. And then create some room in your heart to think about, to love who God wants you to love what you want to love. And it's possible that one of the things that happens to us is that there is something deceitful about riches and about the desire for more and more and more that gets a hold of our heart. And the simple truth is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What you value, that's what you're going to love. So in Mark chapter 4, if you have a Bible, maybe you want to turn there. Jesus is giving a warning that we've referred to a couple times, but I'd like you to see it. Because it will help you to create some room in your heart for the things of that God might want to work on. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 18, Jesus is describing one of the consequences of a preoccupation with things of this world. And in verse 18, we just read this. And others are the ones on whom the seed fell, was sown among the thorns, and these are the ones who heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, just like this, you come into church and you see something in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you from this Word, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It comes to you, and you hear something here, and you make a purposeful decision while you're in church that God spoke to my heart, and I want to do something about that. I want to respond to Him about that. And then you leave, and you get in your car, you turn on the radio, you go home, get in front of your TV, you watch football, or you go shopping, you see something you want, and all of a sudden, what God spoke to you in this room is gone. You know what I mean? Does that ever happen? What happens? I start seeing things at this level, and they come in and they absolutely clog your spiritual arteries so you no longer appreciate the spiritual truth that God said to you, and it becomes unfruitful. It never comes to fruition. What the Word of God spoke to you never bears fruit because you got clogged up with the deceitfulness of riches and other things. Now remember, what we're after is a healthy heart, spiritually healthy heart, that we are not encumbered by too much, too busy a schedule, too many things, too much clutter in my world, and I'm ready to get rid of it and lay it aside. I want to lay that aside so I can run the race. There's another verse that speaks about this sort of not getting entangled in these things. And because it's Veterans Day, it's a beautiful verse that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's read that one out loud together. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Right, no soldier can have a civilian life that's going full bore and also be a soldier and be ready to do what he was enlisted to do. He doesn't entangle himself. Paul said, if you're gonna serve God with your life, he's talking to a young pastor, you're gonna be an effective pastor. You've got to be sure that you know the limits of your life and you set certain things aside and you don't become entangled. And all we're saying is that in a world of financial pressure, there are many things that can come into us and entangle and encumber us, that we cannot live our life in this kind of free way, that my life is for God and my heart is with Him. My heart is healthy. You think about it this way. In fact, someone said, I had this beautiful quote, the opposite of simplicity, as I understand it, is not complexity, but clutter. It's clutter. Scott Sanders said that, a writer. It's not complexity, but clutter. And you can think about your house. And I ask you this question, rhetorically. Don't answer. You'll be embarrassed. Where in your house does clutter gather? Where in your house does clutter gather? Okay, most of us don't have attics anymore, but my grandmother had a great attic, and we used to love to go to her old farmhouse in Pennsylvania as kids, and we'd scurry up in the attic, and it really was like an old movie. We were up in the attic trying on things, looking. I mean, it was beautiful. I don't have an attic. I have a basement, and I have a garage, and that's where it happens for me. And every once in a while, I walk through my garage, and I almost lose my sanctification in the garage. And I let out a cry of lament and say, what has happened to my garage? And I'll get very industrious and a little steamed, and I'll go through and I'll clean it out. And I'll get all this junk together, and some gets thrown out, some gets given away, and some gets held for the yard sale that's going to happen sometime down the road. I'll do the same in my closet, and I'll go through my closet. And it drives Lucy crazy, but I like to go through my closet. And I say, I haven't worn this in 2 years. I haven't worn this in a year. And I'll get it all out, and I'll say, is there anybody we want to give this to? Otherwise, it's Goodwill, or it's, Salvation Army, or it's somewhere. And some of it goes in the garbage, because, I think, what was I thinking when I got that? You say, okay, where does the clutter gather? Okay, all these places are accumulation points for stuff that is going to decay, and moths are going to eat it, and it's going to rust and perish and be valueless. And one of the things that we're trying to do as a congregation is just take a look at our life and say, have we accumulated stuff? Do we have clutter in our life that's doing nothing for eternity? And could we pull some of it together and sell it and use the resources of this junk that we're never going to use again and use it for God? Or is there stuff in our life that just encumbers? We need to give it away to somebody and sort of reduce the complexity of our closet, of our garage, of our schedule, of our financial state. And just say, Lord, there's more resources here that we could use for you in your kingdom. And I want to affirm that material value has nothing in this world, has nothing to me. My life is for God. Job said, naked came I into the world. I came from my mother's womb that way, and naked I'll return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and we all say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't need it all. I can simplify, I can downsize, I can downshift, I can get rid of things. All right, so in a world in which we're always being prompted to go for more, get a little higher on the ladder, accumulate a little bigger, better, we say, wait. This might violate my spiritual health. That if I accumulate more and more and more, I might get clogged arteries. And my heart for God might not beat as strong because my attention is on all this stuff. And so we just want to say, oh, we want healthy hearts. The heart of the matter is, if I could do it less, that would be better. If I could use some of these resources for God and His kingdom, that would be better. Because when I do that, I'm actually making a long-term investment in heaven and laying up for myself a treasure in heaven that will never perish, it will never clutter, and it will never fade away. We're going to try to clear out some of the clutter. Now, for some time, we've been talking about how we're going to do this. And a number of weeks ago, we began to suggest to you that the way we're going to do this is some of us have agreed together to take something in our closet, take something in our garage, take something that we aren't using that well. It's sort of a squandered resource, something that is worthy of being sold for value, that then that value could be used for the kingdom of God, and we won't miss it that much. Or maybe it will help us spiritually, and we're going to get rid of it and sell it. Right? And so what you have in your bulletin this morning is this envelope and this card. And what we're working on together is a goal. And remember, the primary goal of what we're doing as an assignment together as a church is making sure that our hearts are healthy. That's what we want. We want healthy hearts. Do you? You want a healthy spiritual heart, right? Ari, say amen. Okay, well, they say here, come on, because we want a healthy heart. And so what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to have anything that will come into our life that will prohibit or encumber or entangle us in a way that keeps us from having a healthy heart with God. So this is what we're going to do. What we've agreed together is over the next 6 or 8 weeks, we're going to find something and we're going to pray together that God will help us as a church achieve a goal. And that goal is that beyond our regular giving over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to all find something that we could do without, and we're going to bring it together in a special offering. And our goal is that we would get to the place that as a church, beyond our regular giving, we would bring to this church $500,000 before the end of the year. That's a big goal. And we're praying earnestly that this will be a goal that we'll sort of stretch out in faith and believe God that we're going to unencumber ourselves with some things and bring the worth of that here to a special offering. And this, what you have in your bulletin is going to help you do it. Our goal in this is that we would do three things. Number one is that we would retire the debt of our church. Our current debt at Calvary is $330,000. And we're praying that by the end of the year, we'll be able to retire that debt. Why? Because what we think that will do is simplify our life as a church. Right now, we as a church are spending about $2,000 a month in the service of this debt. We don't want to do that. In fact, we encourage you that you should try to reduce your personal debt so that your resources that God gives you would be available for the kingdom, not to be spent on debt. We say that to you. It's what I'm trying to do. It's what we must try to do as a church. So that's what we're going to collectively try to do that. And that will help us. The other thing we need to do is develop capital projects and use some of this resource for capital investment here in this building, which, by the way, gets used almost every day, many of the times by our own fellowship and lots of times for community purposes. This building is used a lot. And over the last number of years, as we've given resources out into our community, we've probably neglected some of our own needs here within this building. And so we're praying. Is there a special way that you could contribute that would help us in this way? And the last area that we're going to do is we're going to give 10% off the top of whatever it is. If it's $300,000 or our goal of $500,000, or if God be praised that it's $1 million, we're going to give 10% out to community. Right out to our community, the poorest of the poor in Boulder County and over in Weld, around the Erie campus. We're going to give to the needs of our community right off the top. And a team of people are looking at where's the best place to invest that. Okay, that's how we're going to do it. That's what we're going to do in order that we say, no, our heart is for God. Our heart's not about stuff. It's about using our resources for the glory of God. Now, here's how we're going to do it. What you have in your bulletin this morning is this card and this envelope. And the response that we're going to ask you to do is that 2 weeks from today, on November 25th, that you bring this card back in and you deposit that in the offering. And this response card back into the offering 2 weeks from today, or if you're not going to be here on that weekend, some other time, or mail it in. And what this will do will help us know what you're thinking. And what it suggests here is that you be thinking about what you're going to give, what you're going to pray about, how much you think you're going to give, because we want to give out some of the money before the end of the year. The second response is this card, this envelope. It's a black envelope, and it's our project, The Heart of the Matter. And we'll ask that you put your special gift inside of this, and then bring it in any time between now and the end of the year. And the offering that you're going to make for The Heart of the Matter can come in this any time between now and December 31st. The reason we're asking you to do the card is because we want to give some of it away before the end of the year. We realize some of you might not give until December 31st at 11 o'clock p.m. And that'll be okay, but by faith, we're going to trust God, because we know that some of the people we want to minister in our community need it at Thanksgiving time and Christmas. And so if you already know what you're going to do for this special offering, you know, the sooner the better for us. That'd be great. We'd love to meet our goal and beyond and give away as much as we can before the end of the year. So your response in this way will help us. For all of us, everyone who can give, and if you're unable to give, we ask that you pray. We don't want it just to be a financial thing. We want to all be praying that our life would be for God, and that He would use us as individuals and all that we have for His glory, and that we would give it away for Him, both our stuff and our life, and that we will surrender ourselves to Him, and that this will be a time of spiritual renewal for our church, and that it would never be true of us as a church that we would be known as people who held on to our thing. But wouldn't it be great if we were known as the generous Christians who said, you know, my stuff is for God's glory, and I'm going to give it away for Him. And I pray that this experience, this assignment that we do together, will be a spiritual expression of all of us together saying, yes, God, my heart is for You. Now, a couple of things I want you to know. We're embarking on this project for these purposes, but these are secondary, because God could give us all the money that we need by one person. But that's not what it's about. It's about all of us saying, my spiritual life is for God, and we all want to grow spiritually in this assignment to learn faith. And we want our hearts to be full of faith and free from the preoccupation of stuff. We're letting go of it so that we can grow together and depend upon God. I also want to remind you that this is sort of beyond your regular giving. And this is a step of faith, perhaps, for you. But this is beyond our regular giving, because I want to assure you, you know, this is not because Calvary's in a financial crisis. We're not in a financial crisis. You know, God is meeting our needs. We're very close to our budget in terms of receipts and what we spend, and we monitor that and we're careful. We don't have a lot of extra, but we're not in a crisis. This is to sort of go beyond and to knock off our debt and to sort of take a step of faith together. This is a project that we're doing as one church in two locations. This is happening in Boulder. It's happening in Erie. It's our joint expression together. And, you know, in Erie, they're a part of one congregation, one fellowship together in two places. And we share the burdens together, and we pray together that God will be glorified in all of this. What we're hoping to do when we pay off the debt is to enjoy the reconfiguration of this property. Right around us now, we have 100 new families who will be moving in to around our property here in Boulder. And Erie's thinking about the ways that they're going to reach their community and the proliferation of houses that are happening out there. Right around us this week, we delivered welcome packages to the new families who have moved in. They're already starting to move in around these houses here. And a couple of our staff went out there and delivered these packages. Joy and John brought welcome packages and met people and just said, welcome to the neighborhood. And it was a great experience. And they said, well, our church is here. We've been here for a long time. You're welcome to come anytime. And a couple of people said, wow, it's so great to see that big lawn out there. Is it okay if we let our dogs run on your lawn? He said, sure, you can do that. And somebody said, yeah, you got a great playground there. Can our kids play on the playground? John said, no, you can't do that. No, he didn't say that. He said, yeah, absolutely. Come anytime. You can play there, run on the lawn. You know, you're welcome to come to services. And it was a great experience of making connection. And we're here in Boulder for a purpose. It's God's purpose. And we're praying that all of what we have will be able to be used for his glory. Paul said in Philippians about sort of a simple life. This is what he said. I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it. But this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, my life is really for the glory of God, and I forget all these other things and I press on to him. So I ask you a question. When you think about your life being simple or complex, is there any way that you need to create a little more margin in your calendar, a little margin in your finance, a little margin in your mind to create some space for God to work? We want to do that this morning. In fact, we don't want to leave church this morning without taking a little time of just quiet reflection. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to just bow your head. And over the next several minutes, we're just going to be still and quiet before the Lord. There are going to be verses that are going to come up on the screen that are going to prompt us toward a simple response to God. God, here's my life. Is there anything I need to reduce? Any encumbrance I need to get rid of? I need to just come beside the still water and rest in you and simply follow you. And let's pursue that quietness together for a few moments of silence in church. And then we're going to sing, we're going to have our offering. But let's be still before the Lord. God, we pray this morning that you'll reduce a bit of the complexity that confuses our life. And you'll make us mindful of the reality that our life is for you. God, please reduce and refocus us. That we might say with Paul, this one thing I do, I forget what's behind. I press on. I spiritually pursue God. God, just in quietness this morning, we meditate on you. We seek you with our heart. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come to us here and near and let us hear from you about how we should respond to you this morning. About pursuing you with a single-mindedness and a simplicity. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.